order, if we could just stand and say the pledge to the flag. Thank you. All right. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands.
One nation, under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice
for all.
Thank you very much. I'll accept a motion to approve the minutes from the May 5th, the May 6th, the May 9th, and the May 14th meetings of this committee.
Corcoran, motion.
Archer, second.
Legislator Mayo had her hand up first. I'll just say that to all you guys.
Sorry.
That's okay. All right. So then the resolutions for this month's meeting, we're going to start with resolution 198, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for Tyler Technologies and Information Services. And so, Alan, I don't know if you wanted to speak to that at all.
Sure. So this is, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So this is for the annual Tyler Public Safety and the Civil Serve software maintenance renewal. There's really three pieces of that. There's the civil serve piece, which is purely the sheriff's portion of the cost. The other two pieces are split between therefore the public safety system maintenance specific. Typically, there's a portion of it split between the sheriff, and there's a portion split between information services. And it's purely for maintenance of the two pieces of the public safety system, the actual Tyler public safety system itself, and then the civil serve portion of it as well.
Great. Anybody have any questions about the resolution?
Nope.
It needs to be moved and seconded.
Yeah, I'll accept a motion to move.
Moved.
Second, anyone?
Hello there, Brian.
Hey, hi, Jim. Hi, Herb. Thank you guys for joining. So we got a motion by Legislator Archer, second by Legislator Mayo. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move to resolution 199, which is approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for the United Way of Ulster County for Office of Employment and Training.
Move for discussion.
Yeah.
Second.
So anyone have any questions about this? I thought that this had come up prior, that we had a couple of questions about how this was implemented or something.
Talking about in the chair meeting, Brian?
Yeah.
Evelyn's here, but she can speak. I think she was in that chair meeting. I mean, I think there was a question of whether these programs could go forward, but I mean, I know from our county DPW perspective, we're going to take at least a dozen of these youth workers and hire them to help us do trail work and a few other things. This is fully federally funded. I mean, I can let Evelyn talk more about the program, but at least from the DPW side, it's going to save us from having to hire, you know, we don't pay it's paid through federal funds. So we're not going to hire normal seasonal employees. We're going to use this contract to hire some that will be able to do some work out on the trails.
Legislator Archer, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious, is any of this money at risk? I mean, are we at risk of not receiving it from the federal?
So This is this contract is a not to exceed contract. We're not obligated to pay the amounts in here. If we don't receive the funding, the program won't happen. So, you know, we've taken a really close look at all of the contracts that are funded by outside funding, including this one, and cleared this one to go ahead because it's a not to exceed contract where we won't have any liability if the funds don't come in. We've been told by the state that this program is on, and we're working with them on what the detailed guidance for it is going to be. But there's no risk to us if it's canceled. There's going to be no expenditures.
So as a follow-up, the money will, once we identify the number of folks we want to put through the program, we submit that and it gets approved and we get payment before or we get payment after?
I don't know exactly when we get paid. But, you know, if the funds don't, you know, are not secure, we're not going to go ahead with the program.
Well, how do you determine that? That's all I'm trying to understand.
I can circle back to finance and ask. I mean, we did a detailed review of every one of these contracts, and they said, yes, this one can go ahead based on what we know about the structure of it.
Okay. I can circle back and
get more of a timeline for when the payments take place, but we did scrutinize this.
I'm sure you have. I mean, if it's easier, I can just follow up with Bert and get some clarity on how that works. Just
to give some light so that people understand, I know there's new legislators too to this committee. OET works directly in the same facility as state DOL, who is oftentimes a sounding board. And I do believe they've checked with their federal sources that these programs have been approved to move forward. Similarly, like I know our youth bureau programs have been given the go-ahead for the summer youth programs, that the funding will be there. They want these funds to go forward. This is important for them.
Yeah, usually with those types of contracts, they're reimbursement contracts.
But we get the approval to spend prior.
Yeah, but you don't until you spend it and invoice it, then they reimburse us.
Okay, any more discussion?
No.
I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so passes.
Can I just, Chairman Cahill, going to abstain from 199 and 200 for reasons of employment.
Okay. Oh, so that one you didn't vote on.
Correct. So I abstained in voting from 199 and I'm going to also from 200.
Okay. So resolution number 200 is basically the same thing. I don't know why there's two of the same one. Can somebody explain that to me?
So one is the summer program and one is the year-round program.
Ah, okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion on this one? Okay. Someone want to move it?
I'll move it.
Is that Arch seconded?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so I believe that Ms. Ahmed wanted to speak, but I don't see her on the call anymore.
She's here.
Oh, there you are, sorry. Lost you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about our resolution, which is number 215, before it goes or after it goes, however you want to do it. This is money that we received from the CARES Act. We had to update it. It was kind of one piece of good news. And during this time, we had to update it because we received kind of within the past 3 weeks, an additional $500,000 and an additional $1.9 million to make a total of nearly $5 million for Ulster County Area Transit. This is federal money that can be drawn down on immediately. I had asked Tony, the deputy director of UCAT, to be here because she's actually inputting the grants right now. So we can actually get some of the CARES Act money for our operations. So this money would be put against our budget, and it can start for the 2020 year. And our federal allocations for our budget year for this year can be used at a later date. So it would cost the county even less to run our bus service. So if you have any questions, let me know. And we're kind of starting the process, and it's a reimbursement federal grant.
Right. So now during the corona, we reduced our bus schedules dramatically around the county, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So then that also reduced expenses, right? So this is kind of really a really win-win for the county.
It did reduce our expenses. We still paid our personnel. We have 44 drivers. We have a staff of 61 total. So we kept everyone paid during that time. We went yesterday to a Saturday schedule. So all the routes are now pretty much running with the exception of a few. And next week we're hoping to reintroduce the shopping service for our seniors, and we are following all CDC protocols. So our expenses did go down, but there are other expenses that have arisen as a result of coronavirus that go with social distancing, and we have a new cleaning contract. So we definitely have less expenses, but at the same time, we've kept everyone on the, pretty much everyone on the payroll.
Can you explain revenue too, Saja? Because while we have had less expenses, we, you know, our revenue will go.
Absolutely. So this money will cover us, just our operational expenses, till the end of the year. Some of UCAT's budget comes from state revenues. It's still a little bit up in the air what's happening with that. But you can use this money to offset your revenue. And during this week, we're going to have conversations with all of our contractual entities to see where kind of they are. For example, we run a service in New Paltz, and we have a contract with the state for the service to Poughkeepsie, but this money can offset all of those services so we can continue to provide services. We are still collecting fares on all of our routes with the exception of Kingston, City of Kingston routes. But if necessary, we can use this money to replace the lost revenue as well.
Any other questions? Okay, I'll accept a motion.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so we'll move on to resolution 232, which is calling for issuance of extended moratorium on evictions and rent relief during the state of emergency. I don't unfortunately have that whole detail in front of me, but I'm assuming it's just a memorializing resolution asking the state to extend the eviction times, which I thought they actually did anyway. But
Chairman Cahill, before you guys get into your discussion, I just want to make sure the committee is aware that the sponsor put this in for July introduction. It should have been included on your agenda under new business, so it's just a discussion for you at this point.
Okay, great. That's Sorry. Actually good. I'd like a little more time to get information on it anyway. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, and as I was reading it, I thought what was different, which I don't think has happened at the state level, is that there is a 365-day period for them to repay the rent as long as they stay current, which I thought was a little different than what the state did. So, you know, once the moratorium executive order is lifted, I think they can move forward. I think what this is saying for folks in Ulster County, let's hold off, you know, 365 days as long as they're current on their current rent and give them a year to pay back their back rent. So I thought that was the nuance, if somebody else knows for sure, but.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, that's my read of it also. I do think that it is directed at more than just the state in you know, passing, like we're doing more than asking the state to pass legislation. I think we're asking courts within our county to, you know, adhere to this. I don't know what, you know, what the authority is that we we necessarily have to do that if it's not a county law that they're adhering to or not adhering to. But, you know, the just to build on Legislator Archer's point, my read of the state moratorium is such that as soon as it expires, if you're back on rent, you could get evicted. Your eviction proceeding could start that moment. Mm-hmm. So something has to be done about that. And I believe this would, in you know, some way address that.
Okay.
I think it bridges.
And also maybe.
Oh. Go ahead, Legislator Litz.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I unmuted and I was going to mute. I mean, we also should put something in there that the county not foreclose on taxes of the landowners, because if you're not collecting any rent, I don't know how you're going to pay your taxes. And if you don't pay your taxes and the county forecloses on the property, and you can't even evict the people because you have delinquent taxes.
Yeah.
Can I quickly just speak to that, Brian?
Sure. Go ahead, Mark.
I mean, I get that point, although anybody who we're foreclosing on has been in arrears of taxes for 3 years. So it wouldn't be that COVID would be the only point. The only thing I would ask is just have your legislative council really, I get that this is not until July. There's a lot of things in these resolves that, you know, I don't look at this as a memorializing resolution. You're making policy for Ulster County courts and extending moratoriums beyond when the state has necessarily put them. I know the governor has put one in place until August, but there could be a world where he doesn't extend that, but he continues to extend the state of emergency, which would then, that first resolve says that the temporary moratorium continues the moratorium continues until 30 days after the emergency. So I would just have legislative council look at it. I think on our end, we'll have the county attorney look at it to see, make sure it's something that, you know, that's legal for the county to do on its own.
Go ahead, Legislator Litz. Sorry, I was
there. You muted. Go.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of considerations that need to take place here, because what we don't want is the unintended consequence of not having affordable housing for the people that need it, because the housing disappears. I understand that everyone sort of thinks that landowners are all rich and because they can rent to other people, but if you don't have the properties to rent affordable housing, the landowners are going to have to increase the rent to cover to be able to survive, and that's not helping affordable housing at all.
Okay. Anything else? So we're not going to vote on this anyway tonight, but I do appreciate the discussion, and we will ask the sponsors to review it with council and make sure that we have something that we can bring forward that doesn't cause more problems than it's solving, right? Okay. All right, so then we have some old business here, and I think that would be basically be it for tonight's meeting, and that's, we're going to ask Dr. Wright if she could give us a little bit of an update on the housing committee that's being formed. I know you've been in conversation with Chairman Donaldson quite frequently about this, and we just want to see where we are with it and how things are progressing.
Sorry about that. Invitations are going out. So I believe the chair has put a couple of invitations out. We have so far put out 3 invitations that have been accepted. Those are to Kathy Germain from RUPCO, Hayes Clement as a representative of the real estate community, and Rick Alfondre as a representative from the architecture community. So we're working our way through. I'll probably speak to Chairman Donaldson again tomorrow, and we're going to try to get this wrapped up. We're still aiming to have a kickoff meeting with Pattern next week, and if not, the following week.
Right. And I just want to remind anyone on the committee that if you go over the list and you look at the the kind of the outline of the folks that we'd like to see participating. If you can come up with a name and you think they'd be a good fit, let Dr. Wright and Chairman Donaldson and Majority Leader Heppner know. And then from there, we'll try and include them if possible. Okay. I mean, we've been, you know, this has been out there for a while, so I'm sure you've all have asked around, but if you just somebody, you meet someone or you comes up in conversation, you know, don't be afraid to bring them forward. It's not too late. Anyone have any questions or anything else? Any new business? Legislator Archer?
Yeah, I just saw took a quick look at the current financials for the various departments, and there were a couple of expenditures or increases or amendments that I just wanted to just double check what they were, if that's okay. I'm trying to
sure.
They were in the OneDrive, so give me a second. I'm looking around here. I don't know, Mark or Evelyn, did you have a chance to take a look at them? You have access, right, to the OneDrive?
Did you send out an email, or I don't know what
you're talking about? It went in the OneDrive. Do you guys have access to that?
I do. I just probably didn't look at it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time getting to it right now.
It should be in the committee file for tonight.
I saw that. That's where I'm at. I'm just.
I have it budget to actual. Screen sharing.
Budget to actuals, yes.
Chairman Cahill, if you're interested in screen sharing, I have it here.
Yeah, page 3, page 4. That would be great if you could do that.
Yeah, so we'll let Jay share. There you go. That'll make it a lot easier. Great, thank you.
Under planning, there was the under professional services. It was amended by almost 600,000. Can you help us understand what the budget amendment was for under professional services?
In the amended budget, not in the actuals, but you're talking about in the amended budget?
Right.
I think.
Actuals, I mean, and we don't have, we only have about 200,000 encumbered.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go. Last year,
I mean, I'm happy to.
I think for some reason it's not, we only have 270,000 that's encumbered. We have 40,000 year to date. I just don't recall if we talked about this in the budget cycle, what that additional 500, almost 600,000 was for.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was through a budget amendment, I thought. I can ask Dennis.
Okay.
It's not off the top of my head. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the one that really stood out to me. And I looked at it today, so I didn't get a chance to really dig down into what we went through. But I thought you might know off the top of your head.
No, there was so many budget amendments.
There's so many changes, yeah. Okay.
So, Legislator Archer, why don't you send Mr. Doyle an email and let him know you want to, if he could explain line 43.
Yeah, I can follow up with him.
Yeah, and then hopefully we can talk about it in caucus
right. Next
week. Okay. Anyone have any other questions? Any other new business? All right. Well, then.
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
All right. Is there a second anywhere out there?
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you all very much. I appreciate you taking time of your day and making this a nice short meeting. Thank you.
Take care. Be safe and healthy.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.